Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Apostle. How you doing? Hello? Hello, Apostle. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? God is so good. His mercy endureth forever. And the more we can depend and trust on God, in God, by God, through God, God has a plan. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. When you receive the plan of salvation, the plan of resurrection, the plan of redemption, the plan that God has for you, you can always say, there's no God like our God. And so tonight's the night that we just say, thank you, Father. God comes to us once again, showing us all that we must do. Hello? I'm all right. Are you on? I see your line. Are you on the line? Okay, let me find. Let me do something here. Let me do something right quick. Hold on. Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend D.J. Lewis Drive. I'd like to say hello to everyone. How you doing, Apostle? I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening all around the world. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Well, I don't even need to know if I'm on the air. Because I can't hear him.
You on there? Go ahead. You on there?
I'm on there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, and let's begin reading at verse 29. The Bible says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The message God has given me tonight for those who are listening is wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. That message, that word wait in Hebrew is kavah. Kavah, and it means to expect. It means to look for. It means to expect. And mean to look for. Those who wait are those who kavah, those who look for the Lord to give them a helping hand, those that wait upon the Lord. That word wait, kavah, in Hebrew, it means to expect, it means to look for. This word stresses the straining of the mind in a certain direction with an expectant attitude, a forward look with assurance. We need to look for God to help us, and we need to be sure that he's going to help us. We need to be sure that he's going to come through for us. God always comes through for us. One of his names is faithful. God is faithful. He's true to his word. One scripture says that his word will go forth and not come back void. God keeps his promises. He's the greatest promise keeper of all. Kava, wait in Hebrew, means to expect. It means to look for. It means to look for with assurance. With assurance, that's faith, with confidence, and knowing that God's going to come through for us. So the message is wait upon the Lord. When you wait upon the Lord, the scripture tells us here that he'll renew our strength. He'll renew your strength when you wait for him, when you look for him. So just the opposite of that, that tells us that if we're not looking for him, we'll deplete our strength. We'll deplete our strength. We'll run out of strength. We'll remain weary. We'll remain weak and without strength if we're not waiting upon him. Those that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. He'll give you new strength. He'll change you from strengthless to having strength. That word renew is, in Hebrew, it means to change. He'll change you. It means also to sprout again. Where you didn't have any strength, strength will sprout again. You'll have strength again. He'll renew your strength when you wait upon him. A lot of folks and a lot of times the enemy will have us to think, the devil will have us to think that we're waiting for God for nothing. The enemy will try to have us to think that our waiting is in vain. Our expecting and looking for God to do something for us is in vain. But the Bible clearly tells us here that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew is chalas in Hebrew, chalas. And it means to change. It means to sprout again as grass. It means to gain new strength. Chalas. God will renew your strength. He'll change you from not having any strength at all to having strength. He'll change that situation for you and give you strength. Your strength will sprout again as grass sprouts again. You'll gain new strength. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the scripture says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So he's known to renew our strength. He will renew your strength. Number one, when you wait upon him, when you expect for him, when you look for him to help you, he'll renew your strength. You'll gain new strength. The scriptures, look at Luke chapter 22. The message is wait upon the Lord. Luke chapter 22. And let's read verses 39 through 43. The scripture says, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And as Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was praying that God remove the cup. The cup is him going to the cross. The cup is him being crucified on the cross. That was the cup. He was going through a tough time here. He was seeing what he was about to go through for mankind. He was seeing himself being pierced. He was seeing himself being beaten. He was seeing himself being crucified. And for a moment there, he prayed and asked God if he be willing to remove this from him, to remove it. You know, he's God, but he was also in a body, and the body, the flesh, didn't want to go through this. So he was having a hard time here. The Bible says that when he was sweating drops of blood. So it wasn't something that was easy that Jesus was facing, that Yeshua was facing. So he's praying here. He's having a struggle here. He's feeling weak here. Jesus, the Savior, Yeshua, he's feeling weak right here. And in verse 43, he says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." So Jesus even needed to be strengthened. So surely we need to be strengthened also. God shows us in the Word how that we can gain new strength. He says, when we wait upon him, when we look for him to help us, it will be just like as that angel strengthened him. He will strengthen us. We will gain new strength when we wait upon him. Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Not maybe. He said he'll do it. He said he'll do it for you. When you wait on him, when you trust him enough to help you, when you look for him to help you, he'll renew your strength. Number two, those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. Shall mount up. He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. He says that you shall mount up. He says right here, but they, in verse 31, Isaiah 40, 31, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall, number one, renew their strength. And number two, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means that God will raise you up. You shall mount up. That word mount up in Hebrew means to go up. It means to ascend, go higher. It means to excel. You'll excel in life. It means to be exalted, to go up, to ascend, to be exalted. It means he will raise you up. He will exalt you. He'll set you on high when you wait upon him. So waiting upon the Lord, looking for the Lord, kavah, looking for the Lord to help you is not in vain. God wants us to look to him. He wants us to depend on him. He don't want us to be self-reliant and just depending upon ourselves. No, he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to look to him. That's why David says, "I will lift up my eyes toward the hills from whence cometh my help." David says, "My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And this is the man that God said had a heart after his own heart. Well, what did David do? David looked unto the Lord. He looked for the Lord to help him. He waited upon the Lord, and God always renewed his strength. When you look upon the Lord, when you look for God to help you, don't give up and throw in the towel and sit around in discouragement and depression. No, look for God to help you, and he will renew your strength when you do that. A lot of people quit. A lot of people give up in life because they're not looking for God to help them. And they wouldn't quit if they were looking for God to help them, because God said that he'll renew your strength. He will renew your strength. And number two, you'll mount up with wings as an eagle. He'll raise you up when you look for him to help you. You'll go up. You'll ascend. You'll be exalted. You'll excel in life. The scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. In the Septuagint, it says you will grow new feathers. You will bring forth new feathers. You know, an eagle sheds its feathers. But when they shed their feathers, they grow new ones and fly even higher. And so God says that you will mount up. He'll raise you up. You will mount up like an eagle when you look for him. Just the opposite of that, you'll descend. You'll come down. You'll go down. You won't excel in life if you don't wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and he'll raise you up. You'll mount up. You'll excel. You'll be exalted. You will ascend. The scripture goes on to say that you'll run and not be weary. That word run in the Hebrew means in a military sense, to charge into battle. To charge into battle. And that Hebrew word for run is roots. You know, like the movie, that black movie, Roots. Roots is the Hebrew word for run. And in a military sense, it means to charge into battle. You won't remain weary, but you'll continue to charge into battle. You'll put the devil on the run. You'll charge into battle. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that look for God to help them, they'll run, their roots, they'll run and not be weary. And my final point, well, let's look at that word run. It can also signify running into somewhere, not only into a hostile in a hostile sense, but in order to be united or hidden by it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? They run into it and are safe. There's that word run again, roots. Roots is the Hebrew word for run. And it means to charge into battle. It means to run to the Lord for safety. Run into him and you'll be safe. You'll run and not be weary. You won't get tired of charging into battle. You won't get tired of running to God. If you do get tired, he'll renew your strength and you won't remain tired. You won't remain weary. You won't when you wait upon the Lord. That's fourth, and my fourth point is he'll give you power. When you wait upon the Lord will give you power. That word power in Hebrew, the word power is koach. Koach. And it means the ability to do something. So when you wait upon the Lord, he'll give you the ability to do something. It also means to substance. He'll give you substance. That word koach or power also means wealth. That he'll give you wealth. Who will he do this to? Those that wait upon him, he'll give them power. He'll give them an ability to do something. He'll give them substance. He'll give them wealth. So, you know, a lot of people need to stop talking down money. Money is a good thing. You can do more with money. When you have money, you have the power to pay your water bill. When you have money, you have the power to pay your electric bill. When you have money, you have the power to pay your car note. It gives you the ability to do something. So those that wait upon the Lord will give you power. And that power is not only physical power, it's money, it's substance, it's wealth. See, you can do things to help people with wealth. You can do things to help people with substance, with money, with gold, with diamonds, with silver. It gives you power. So a lot of people speak of power as just being some spiritual power, you know, which is great, wisdom, which is great. You got to have know how to use the money, the wealth that God gives you. But it also means money. It means substance. It means wealth. You can do a lot of good things with wealth. There's a scripture in the Bible that says money answereth all things. It helps you to get things done. The scripture says he giveth power to the faint. That word power is koach. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. God will give you power when you wait upon him. That word power includes its substance, its wealth. It's the ability to do something. Sure, he'll give you the ability to teach and to preach. He'll give you the ability to lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. He'll give you the ability to do the gifts, to carry out the gifts of the Spirit. He'll give you spiritual power and ability to do things, but he'll also give you physical strength. He'll give you physical strength to do things. He'll give you substance and wealth to do things. We need it all. We need the physical strength. We need the wealth, the money, and we need the spiritual ability, the anointing to do things. He'll give us the power. That's what that is, koach. He'll give us the power to get things done when we look for him to help us, when we wait upon him. Those that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. He'll raise them up, and they'll run and not be weary. They'll be able to charge into battle because God will give them the strength and the power to do it. He'll give you the power to do things. He'll give you the substance and the wealth to do things. We need it all. We need the money. We need the strength. We need him to raise us up. We need his help. He'll do these things for us when we look for him. God wants us to look for him. He wants us to look for him to help us. The scripture says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. He wants us to look for him for help. God does. That's part of faith, looking for him to help us. That's faith, looking to him. And he says that you'll mount up. He'll exalt you. He'll renew your strength. It's not in vain. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap our harvest if we faint not. He says those that wait upon him, he'll renew your strength. Don't go weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap your harvest. Don't get weary. Look for God to help you. Don't give up and throw in the towel. I'm a boxing fan, and I like boxing. You know, in boxing, they have what you call a cut man, and they have a trainer over there in that corner. And with the boxers go out in the ring, and round one is completed, they go back over to the corner. When they get back over to the corner, one of the things I see the trainer do is he'll take a sponge, and that sponge is full of cool water. He'll take that sponge and he'll put on the boxer's face to cool the boxer off. And that boxer will get refreshed because the trainer has just put some water on his face and cooled him off with a sponge. And also you might see that trainer, he'll take some Vaseline and rub Vaseline. He'll wipe the boxer's face off and rub Vaseline on the boxer's face so that, you know, the glove from the opponent won't cut him so easily. So he'll put Vaseline on his face, and he'll put some ice. If he's bruised anywhere, if there's any swelling on his face, he'll put some ice, an ice pack on the place of on his face that's swollen. And what is he doing? He's reviving. He's refreshing his boxer. He's refreshing him so that he can go back out there for round two, and so that he can put up a good fight. So he can attempt to win the fight. And there's a cut man over there. He'll put something on the boxer's cut if he have a cut, and he'll try to put something on the cut to stop the bleeding so that the fight won't get called off, so he can go back out there, charge into the fight again, and fight another round. And that's what God does. God says, we that look for him, he'll what? He'll renew our strength. He'll freshen us up. He's our trainer in our corner, just like that boxing trainer. God is our trainer, and we go over to the corner, and God freshens us up, and he gives us new strength so we can charge back into battle so that he can raise us up higher. We can mount up like eagles so that he gives us the power, the money, the physical strength, and the substance and the wealth that we need to get the job done. And that's what God does. See, he don't want us doing like Roberto Duran. I remember when Roberto Duran was fighting Sugar Ray Leonard. Roberto Duran, he said, no mas, no mas. He quit the fight. He said, no mas. He threw in the towel. He quit the fight. And see, we have the choice of doing the same thing. What are you going to do? Are you going to say no mas, no mas? Are you going to throw in the towel? See, the trainer can use the towel for one or two things. He can take that towel and he can wipe the sweat off the boxer's face. Or he can take that towel and throw that same towel out to the center of the ring. And he said, when he does that, he says, I quit. I quit. You can't go any higher when you quit. You'll miss out on your harvest if you quit. You'll miss out on going higher if you quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say no mas, no mas. Look for God to help you. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary. He'll give you power. You will run and faint not. I tell you, God will help you. He'll elevate you. He'll renew your strength. He'll give you the money and the substance and the physical strength that you need if you look for to him for help. Don't you give up. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. He's still the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll help you. He didn't call you for nothing. He's going to help you complete what you've started. He's going to help you finish your course. He's going to help you finish building that business, finish building that ministry. He's going to help you finish building this radio station. He's going to help you finish building the school, the church, the ministry, the business, your family. He's going to help you if you don't give up. Look for him to help you, and he'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as an eagle. He'll raise you up. You'll run and not be weary. He'll give you the power that you need to complete your task. And that's the word God wanted me to give you tonight. Wait upon the Lord.
Hello? Pastor Irvin. Are you there?
Well, praise God. I hope we got this worked out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there earlier tonight and I was reading scripture I got into, I think it was Genesis, last chapter, and I took note at something that I've overlooked several times, and I just want to go into this just for a second. Because it's all going to come into what I want to be talking about anyhow. It's, let me see, where am I at here? I believe it was the last chapter of Genesis. Yeah, it was. Okay. You know, it says here, it says, and Joseph fell, Jacob died, and Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. Joseph commanded his servants and the physicians to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. Now, we know that embalming, that what it is a preserve. It's to preserve us and got looking at that, and I got thinking about it, and I said, well, wait a minute. If you do look at it in that of a spiritual aspect of the thing, that Joseph, while embalming Jacob, he preserved Israel for even for today, through that part of embalming. It says I think in the last chapter where it goes back in, and it sits there and it says, and so Joseph died, being of 110 years of age, and they embalmed him, and he was put in the coffin in Egypt. And we know that Joseph was taken out of Egypt, and we know that I think it was in Exodus that he was taken out of Egypt. I have to sit there and look at that, and I really thought about it, and I was saying, Lord, tell me something on this, you know. And I've come to this, looking at this, and I've got thinking, this, well, why would God put this in here that Joseph had embalmed Jacob, yet he was buried and requested to be buried in the land of Canaan. I think it was Abraham, but Joseph was reunited. He was reunited with Israel, in the kingdom of God. And I'm still fishing on words here, so just bear with me on this. You know, a lot of things that we do in life, we have no recollection or understanding at times why we do the things that we do. And the things that we do, that when we, they help us for the future in a lot of things that we do. Just as Joseph embalmed Jacob, he preserved Israel. And that was even also the preserving the nation of Israel. And it says, Apostle Newsom says, don't give up. Joseph never gave up on anything that God put before him. Even when he was sold into slavery, and all the things that he went through, his brothers had turned against him, and life really seemed to be harsh. And then the Pharaoh's wife accused him of wanting to adultery, and all the things that was going on. But Joseph never gave up because he knew and he understood. He understood because he had walked with the Lord. He had talked with the Lord. He had known God. And you know what? Even today, we can still have that same with the Lord. We can talk with the Lord. For those who are in Christ, Christ is in us with the Holy Spirit, that we walk with him daily. And we come to a point of sometimes we allow the flesh, we allow everything else to come against us, and we fail. We step down, we back away, we stop, we give up, we throw our hands in the air, we cry out to God, we do all the different things. Sometimes we allow the temptations to overwhelm us and take us. But even at best, if you're knowing what you're knowing that you're doing, when you have a program, you have a vision of something to do, and your fulfillment of that vision, and if it's and even in Christ, as God has called you into the ministry, you know God has given you a vision. It's time to sit there and look at that vision once again. I mean, maybe things have gone awry, things have gone one way or the other, and you kind of laid it down, you put it on the back burners because it wasn't happening. Well, God's not through with you, because you see things in order. As Joseph embalmed Jacob, or embalmed Israel, he put things in order to preserve Israel for today. That's spiritually. God has sat there and done the same thing to you and me and everyone else that is in Christ. Those who are seeking the Lord, those who are seeking his will, his way, they're seeking him. God has already implanted things in you to preserve you, and that's through the Holy Spirit, but to preserve you into the things that he has planned for you. And sometimes our plans get in the way of his plans. We need to sit there and reevaluate our plans. And we got to sit there and ask ourselves, Lord, are these plans my plans or are they your plans? Because God has already stepped out before you. He's already went ahead. He's already prepared a way. He's always made a difference in everything that you do. He has even talked to that they're going to come into your life at some point in time to help you, that will minister to you. Those are the people that God has already stepped forward and put them out there. These are the people that even God had preserved years before for this particular day in your life today or tomorrow or whenever it is that when we relinquish our acts and start walking in the blessings of God and we start walking in the Spirit of God and we start acting like the children of God, what he has called us to be. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with the things in the world. We see things in the world. You know, it's in the Bible, it says our tongue is like a two-edged sword. It will cut both ways. It will give us blessings and curses. It says no man can tame the tongue. We can tame the animals. We can tame everything else, but we can't tame the tongue. But if we're walking in the Spirit of God, then everything that we speak, we know it will manifest itself. Just as we know that God who sat upon the throne, who spoke everything into creation, he has also given us the authority that are in Christ to do the same. And yet when we sit there and speak out one thing and it doesn't happen today, then we go, oh, well, what was that for? What's that all about? you know, what the heck, you know? So you're throwing doubt out there. So who's picking up on all this doubt, all them vibrations of doubt that's coming back at you? And then it overwhelms you. It might be the things that you're going to give up on because you spoke those things into existence. You spoke something into your husband or your wife or your children's lives, and you're watching them deteriorate. You're watching them falling apart. You're watching them sit there and not becoming what it is that you hoped for and you expected them to be. To that word, embalming, the preserve. You know, we can still sit there and take that same word, and we can put things into people's lives to preserve them. And that's the word of God. That is the promise of God. Those are the things that we can speak into their lives that will prepare them for tomorrow, that will prepare them for the things that are coming ahead of them, the things that sit there to inspire them, the things in there to that they will grow and they will cling to and they will listen to. But we can also sit there and we can curse that very thing that God has blessed us with. When we start talking negatively, we talk negative about our children, our spouse, or whoever, our situation, or whatever the case may be. When we start speaking negatively towards it, then we're speaking those very things into existence. God tells us, your answers be yes or no. He tells us to watch what we say, because we still have that same power. And you know, those people that are walking in the world, they're walking in that power too, without the understanding. They're talking blessings and curses upon themselves, but they're not the blessings of God. But they're still talking things, and these things are starting to generate. They're starting to manifest into the world, and we can see it. And we can see the darkness and the ugliness, and we can see all the other stuff. You know, what God says is good is good. What God says is evil. And he's not going to be mocked at any of this. He is going to let you know, and rest assured, his words are true. And if we stand with the Lord, and we stand in the Lord, we become part of that in Christ, stand with him, then we can see a better future. Yeah, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going through everything else that Jesus went through. In fact, he's in us, that he's going through it with us. He says, give it to him. Let him carry it. All we got to do is just ride on his shoulders. All we have to do is rely on him, because he's preserved us. He's preserved us just as I'm sitting here talking to you now, and I'm speaking into your lives. I'm telling you that you need to stop your negative talking. You need to sit there and look at what's going on and discern the truth. Regardless, it doesn't make any difference who you want and to be your leaders or whoever else you want. You need to sit there and look at that person and really discern the truth. And you follow that which God says. What he says is evil, what he says is good, and he will not be mocked, because we have to live with the consequences of what we speak. We have to live with the consequences of the things that we do and how we act and react. We have total control over all that. God has given it to us. Somebody sit there and says, well, you know, you just pray, you know, and let God sit there and take care of it. No, we pray and we ask God for help. But we have to take care of it. He's already did it. He's already said, okay, this is what's going to happen. All you got to do is follow it. Well, how was that? Well, what did you speak? Did you speak negative about it, situation? Or did you find the light and see a positive a response and be able to find your way out of that darkness? We need to know who we are in Christ, but more so we need to know what we can do in Christ. And we need to understand that the Word of God is infallible. We need to know and understand, and we need to discern right from wrong. We need to discern that which is dark and which is light. And it makes no difference of what it is that we do to this day forward. We embalm tomorrow with our words. We embalm our children with our words, our spouses with our words, our workplace with our words. How are we going to preserve it? Are we going to preserve it for the good? Are we going to preserve it for the evil? As you can see, Joseph's brothers, they would sit there and they got strife in them. They had everything else, that jealousy and everything else, because Joseph had made the remark of saying that, hey, you guys are all going to be serving me. And they got jealous, they got mad and said, you, little boy, we're going to serve you. And so they sold him into slavery. And all these things came because they put that in. But what they did for evil, God turned for good. What the devil is doing today for evil, God can turn that around in your life for good. Because, you know, I've sat there and been in different ministries and where I've brought up this or I brought up that, and they said, no, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing that. And I'm not a maverick by any means, but I just know God laid it on my heart to do these things. So I said, oh, it's okay. I brought it to you, and you said, no, that's fine, and I understand that. But God wants me to do these things. So I step out in faith and do these things that I do. And I'm not going against those who I've been with, because I know that if I didn't do what I had to do, that somewhere, someone down the line would have fallen. Somebody would have lapsed. I get phone calls every day who said people needing prayer. I know for a fact that a friend of mine I've known for 40 some years, they called and just put her husband in the nursing home. And she's a little upset and distraught, and she needed to talk to me. And some reason or another, I had a lot of different communication, just like tonight on this radio program. I had with the phone that we couldn't talk very well. But I know the guilt that she's going through because it happened to put her husband in a nursing home, and she made a promise to him that she wouldn't do it. But she prayed to God, and she asked God for favor and strength, because I do know what she's going through. I went through that with my own mom, and there is a lot of guilt there. There's a lot of guilt there when you have to put your mother in a nursing home, because not that you can't handle her anymore or handle that person anymore, but there's a sense of guilt. But she had prayed, and she asked God, says, help me. So God took that out of her hands, because it was the doctor who put this woman or put this man in a nursing home. And she says, you didn't break your promise. And God didn't break his promise with you when he sat there and told you that he will do these things. But there's a time and a season for it. Right now, this woman is going through some terrible things, the guilt and everything else in her life, because she figures she broke a promise. She loves this man, and she knows that he has to be in a nursing home. But God is a God of mercy and of grace, because I know that dealing with someone like that, especially someone, a loved one, is very hard on your life. It takes a toll on you physically, mentally, and spiritually. But God, already knowing all this prior, that God has already put things in place for you to take that burden off of you. God preserved you. He preserved your life. He preserved everything there is about you. He preserved everything that you're going to go through, and knowing that if you rely on him, he will see you through it, and he will take care of you. He will take care of your finances. He will take care of everything, your loved ones. We lay it all into his hands, to the Lord and the Spirit of God. We have to have and know of the understanding is the who we are and who Christ is. We have to know and understand that we are children of God, and we have to begin to act like children of God. We have to begin to start speaking like children of God. We have to begin to start realizing that the things that we say, that we can, with our own words, embalm the atmosphere, either good or evil. And I'm not saying and with pleasure and peace, because God says that He gave unto us. And we can speak that. And I'm not talking pleasure of being able to sit there and run around and Yahoo and do all these other things. He's talking about the pleasures of life, the goodness of life. And He's talking about His peace, that knowing that no matter what, He's going to see you through it. He's going to be with you. He's going to be there. He's going to take care of you. And He is going to sit and at all costs. And He even proved it on the cross at all costs to preserve you. He laid His life down. To preserve, He laid His life down for you, because you are the kingdom of God, each and every one who are in Christ. He has preserved us, and we need to start acting like it, and we need to start talking about it, and we need to sit there and start showing that light that God has placed in us so that we can be the light of the world. We can see all these things that's coming about during this election time. They're speaking this and they're speaking that, and we're bringing up this and we're bringing up that. You know, none of that's of God. That's all of the flesh, because it's all about power. It's all about everything else. But you know what? Those who are in Christ have more power than the President of the United States, more power than the kings and the queens. And the devil knows that. So if he can keep you occupied, TV, and speaking this and speaking that against this person or that person, or speaking this or speaking that into your world, into your existence, he knows that if he can continue to sit there and downgrade you and let you begin to continue to speak these negative things about your life and about your well-being and about what's going on in our nations, he knows he's won. Just like on this radio program tonight, Satan's a liar, because this message is going out. Because this is not me speaking. This is of the Holy Spirit that is conveying to you, telling you it's time to embalm this nation for the kingdom of God, to embalm spouse, our businesses, our bosses, our legislators, our governors, our judges, our president. It makes no difference to begin to speak life, begin to speak righteousness, and begin to speak good. And through that, would we begin to seek that they would begin to have peace and be able to have that joy in life, the true life that God has prepared for each and every one of us who are in Christ. I don't know. This is something that God has just laid on to me, and I've been struggling with a couple of things in myself and financially and everything else. And I finally sat there and I said, you know what, God, you do it. You change those things that need to be changed, because I've been trying and trying and trying, and nothing's happening. And then no matter how hard I try to make things work, it seems to be for nothing. And you know what? The next day I started getting phone calls, people wanting work to be done, and people wanting the different things in the ministry and other things that are going on. And it's nothing that I did other than I sat there and said, God, you're going to have to do it. I threw everything down and put my trust into Him to walk with Him. Because you see, through His blood, He embalmed us. He embalmed me with the righteousness of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of heaven. And I claim that tonight. And I claim that for anyone who's listening right now for your life. I claim it right now for you, that you begin to see that righteousness and you begin to understand. Just as Jacob understood embalming his father to preserve Israel. We are a part of the nation of Israel. We are grafted in. And those who are children of Abraham, the true descendants, God preserved you just as he's preserved me and anyone else who's listening tonight that are in Christ. And we need to be able to sit there and take a stand right now and begin to start speaking. Not how bad this person is, how bad that person is, but we need to see, as God has looked into each and every one of us and seen the good in us. Regardless if it was only a little bit of good we have, it's just the size of a mustard seed, but that, and that will grow and it will blossom and it will become greater than anything else. But we need to be able to sit right now for our leaders, for everyone else, and start seeing the good in somebody and start speaking it. I don't care if it's the opponent. I don't care whatever it is. But we need to sit there and take the true discernment that God has given us and show us what is good and what is evil. That's my message for tonight, guys. I don't know how much time I have left.
I got about two minutes.
Oh, praise God. Well, let me pray. You're breaking up. Let me pray right now. Heavenly Father, right now, for anyone who's listening, that your words will go forth, Lord, in their lives. Father, you see the good in each and every one of us. Father, I lift up everyone who's running for office and public office right now, Lord, that those who have hardened their hearts against you, Father, that they will be relinquished to know you, and that we can save this nation. And for those who are right now who are struggling right now, Father, I know that if they were to speak positively in their lives, in their children's lives, in every aspect of their life, that you will bless them. Because we are in Christ. And as our words go forth, they will break the darkness and bring to light the good that you see in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm saying, boy, you're breaking up real bad. Can you hear me? Okay, thank God on tonight for another opportunity to bring the word before to God's people. We thank God for all that have been said and done on tonight. We thank God for his word. Thank God for his grace and for his mercy. And we just come tonight saying just to continue talking about the power, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to start off with from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostle. But first I want to say, Father God, we just come to tell you thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for guidance and directing us. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Lord God, the one that would teach us and guide us and bring all things to our remembrance. Holy Spirit, have your way on tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. coming from the Acts of the Apostle, talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start at verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He said, until the day, verse 2, say, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he hath chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof. He had been seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together, just like we are assembled together tonight on the radio program, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. They should not depart from Jerusalem. But we just heard a message by wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of them, of me, he said, John the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. And he simply says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And verse 17 said in John 14 chapter, he said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, it seeth him not, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit live on the inside of us. And this is what Jesus would tell him, say, wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly, the word says in the fifth verse, says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore will come together, when they came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Ask the question, say, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom of Israel? And look what Jesus said, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Hallelujah. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Glory to God. See, that's what we should be doing. We should be out there witnessing, telling somebody the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Witnessing about his goodness, about his death, his burial, glory to God, and his resurrection. The good news is telling about Jesus Christ. Witnesses about Jesus. Not about cars, homes, and jewelry, and money, and all that stuff is fine in its place. But we should be witnesses unto both in Jerusalem and all Judea. He said, not a portion of Judea, but in all of Judea and in Samaria. And watch this. He's talking to us now. And he said, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Are we on part of the earth? Hallelujah. We may be in different cities, but we should be witnessing, telling a dying, sin-sick world that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Savior, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over to chapter 2, and we all know this particular chapter's end, and chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and say then, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And when the body of Christ, when the church come together and be on one accord, were all on one accord. Not some of them, they were all was on one accord. He said, when the day was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And verse 2 says, and suddenly, I like the suddenness and the immediateness that I see in the Word of God. Because God can do some suddenness now. And he can do some immediate right now. And suddenly there came a song from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And he filled all the house where they were sitting. And he filled all the house where they were sitting. Everything that was fillable was filled in the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Hallelujah. Not just some of them, not just one of them, skipped over one and got on another one, but it set upon all of them, and it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled. Glory to God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. See, at that time, and it still is the norm for when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence is you speaking with tongues that you are filled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's move a little bit further. Hallelujah. And let's go to second chapter, 37 verse. Now when they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Times I ask the Lord, saying, glory to God, Lord, what shall I do? What will you have me to do? Where will you have me to go? What will you have me to say? They said, they asked the question, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, we heard a message on a Monday night, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? That we walk in the power. The Holy Ghost is, this is what he is. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. And he's also our standby. That's what he is to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, look, we say, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, he was referring us back to the book of Joel, the book of the Joel, the second chapter and the 28th verse. And it says in Joel, the 28th chapter, the second chapter, 28th verse, I'm going to slow it down. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say some flesh. He said all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Hallelujah. And he said, in verse 29, and also upon your servants and upon the handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In those days, in these days, our young people is going to preach and teach the word of God with power. And glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is why we have to pray for them and keep them covered and with the blood of Jesus. Because the enemy have a heat out on our kids and we sitting back saying passive and doing nothing about it. Trying to figure out why is these things happening. Because the word of God. The devil know the word. Hallelujah. He tempted Jesus with the word when Jesus was on the came out of the wilderness with a 40-day fast. He said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus just whipped him with the word. Hallelujah. Says, you got to give the devil the word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Power from upon high. Not by might, hallelujah. Not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. talking about the power of God. And look what he said. I want to go to the fifth chapter. And we know this very familiar passage, man, talking about Cornelius. He said there was a certain man called Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, the band called the Italian band. He said, and he was a devout man, one that feared God, one that had reverence for God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And that reminds me of Joshua. When Joshua made the statement, he said, me and my house, are we going to serve the Lord? And on the third verse, he said, and he saw a vision. It was only about the ninth hour of the day. Angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. Glory to God. A testimony about an angel coming in my presence. Hallelujah. I was on working on Westheimer. I said we were building some rooms on a building that we was leasing on Westheimer, and I was cutting some wood for to put up a door facing, and all of a sudden I turned around and started me a man was sitting on a banister. And all he asked me was, he said, preach me a message. I'm young in the ministry, and hallelujah, Zan. He said, I never forget, he said, preach me a message. And I didn't say, well, I'm young in the ministry, blah, blah, blah. All I did was went and got my Bible, and I never forget the message that I preached to him. It was John, the 14th chapter, and it said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many of mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, glory to God. And then he said, thank you. I turned around, put my Bible down, and I looked up and to see a response or hear something from me, and the man was gone. Hello, church. The man was gone. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, thank you. And he turned around and he was gone. And I looked all up and down the street, and I ran down the corner and on Westheimer looking, and all between the buildings, and there was no man. It took me for a while to realize that it was an angel sent from God. So Cornelius, hallelujah, had an angel that came and visited him at the 9 o'clock on that day. At 3 o'clock, really, the angel of God came in to him and said to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he said he was afraid. Hallelujah. And said, what is it, Lord? That's what the question we should be saying. What is it, Lord? What is it? What will you have me to do, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers. Man, wouldn't you like the angels to say, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Hallelujah. And then we know the story where he told him to go to Joppa and send men to Joppa and look for a man named Peterson. Hallelujah. And he did that, and Peter came back with his brethren, and I want to go to the 33rd verse, and it says, immediately therefore I sent thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Hallelujah. I want to hear everything that there is to hear that God, hallelujah, have commanded me to hear. And then he said, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. God is no respecter of person. If he did it for you, he'll do it for somebody else. Hallelujah. That's what I told him earlier at a Bible study earlier tonight. I said, I never have, when I got saved and born again, I never have belittled the son of man, the son of girl, the son of boy. I have never talked down to him, talked about him. Why? Because I was just like that at one time or another. Maybe I did the same thing that you're doing, but who am I that I could point fingers at somebody else? Grateful that God has spared me and saved me. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, thank God for Jesus Christ. And I also think, when I read that by Paul, then, he said, every time I try to do good, he said, evil is present. Now, I thought about that thing. I said, Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. What did he do? That he said, every time I try to do good. And that's with us also, our brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, the church, the body of Christ. Every time we try to do good, the enemy tries to step in. And that's why I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He keeps us. He's our keeper. Hallelujah. He's our sustainer. He's our God. He's one that will bring all things to our remembrance. Hallelujah. And I'm coming to a close. As he said, the words, he said, but in every nation, he that feared him and worked in righteousness, verse 35, is acceptable with him. The words which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Yeah. He's not just Lord of just a few, a collective few. God, Jesus is Lord of all. Mm-hmm. The word Lord simply means that he's master, he's ruler of all.
Amen.
Jesus, the Savior, Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Okay. That word, verse 17, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from the Galilee after he said, the baptism which John preached. Hallelujah. The baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus. Glory to God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Thank you.
God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about. That same power that was anointed upon Jesus, we have that same power within us.
Hallelujah.
He went about. He went about doing good and healing all. He went about doing good and healing all.
Yes.
That will oppress of the devil. God was with him. It's the same Jesus, the same today, yesterday, and forever. If he was with Jesus then, he's with us now, today. And we should be going about, hallelujah, doing the same thing that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
We are witnesses. Hallelujah. And we are witness. I am a witness of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him, God. Glory to God. Him, God. I mean him, Jesus. Jesus. God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to jump down to verse 44 right quick, and no more time is well spent. And he says, and while Peter yet spake these words, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost fell on not some of them, but all of them.
Everybody.
Which heard the word of God.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, preachers, evangelists, apostles, and glory to God, preached the word. He preached the word in season.
Yes.
And out of season.
Hallelujah.
When it's convenient, preach it when it's not convenient. Hallelujah. I tell them I preach every day.
Thank you.
Every day, then I don't have to have an appointment to preach.
That's right.
I preach every day, my brother and sister. I'm cutting grass, I'm preaching. I'm riding on a lawnmower. Hallelujah. Riding a property, preaching the word of God. In the house, preaching the word, glory to God. Faith comes by hearing. You can't get in no prayer line, take no pill to get faith. You have to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
That's right.
And they were all, verse 45 said, hallelujah. And they of the circumcision which believe, that's the key to it all, believe. All things are possible to them that believe.
Yes, right.
Believe. All we have to do is believe. It. This will happen. And they of the circumcision which believe were astounded, and many as came with Peter, because that owned the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Not Jews, but on the Gentiles. We are Gentiles because we're not Jews.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the minister came with Peter because that on the Gentiles also was poured out.
That's
also
right.
Was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak. Watch this. This is the norm. This was the norm in biblical time. And they heard them speak with what?
The other
with tongues. And magnify God, then answer Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Can a man forbid water? There should not be baptized which have received, which have received. Have you received the Holy Ghost as well as we?
Yes.
Have we received? Do you really have the Holy Ghost, or are you just going through the motion?
All right.
He commanded them. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Pray they him to tarry certain days. We heard the message earlier about wait on the Lord. He shall strengthen our heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. Glory to God. Wait on the Lord and hallelujah.
All right.
All we got to do is wait.
Thank
you. Wait and trust in him.
Trust him.
Hallelujah. He haven't forgotten you. Glory to God. He's just raising you up. He's just allowing you. He hasn't forgotten you. If he called you to the ministry and he haven't budded yet, then just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And be of good courage.
Yes.
And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have your way, Lord.
Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Go, go, go.
Yes, Lord. Go.
Said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, go, go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father,
yes,
the
Lord.
Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes. Go, go, go.
I heard say,
yes, Lord. Go. Hallelujah.
Go.
Send me, Lord. I'll go. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He said, if you love me, if you truly love me.
Yes, Lord. If you truly love me.
I didn't feed my sheep. I heard Jesus saying, if you love me.
If you love me.
If you truly, truly love me. Feed my sheep.
Mm.
He said, lo, I'll be with you.
Lo.
Forever and ever.
Yeah. Hello.
Until
hallelujah.
The end of the world.
Glory.
I heard him say, go.
Go.
Go. Go. Go.
Yes,
I heard Jesus saying, go.
Go.
Sometimes you may feel like you got to go by yourself, but
yes.
I told you to go. Sometimes you may be talked about, but I said, go.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes your body may be aching with pain, but I told you to go.
Yes, Lord.
Go. Go. Jesus said, if you love me,
woo,
and you truly, truly love me, why don't you feed my sheep?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, if you love me, and you truly, truly love me,
truly,
why,
yes,
don't
Lord,
you feed my sheep? lo, I'll be with you forever and ever until the end of the world. I told you to go, go, go,
yes.
Go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go.
Lord.
That's what he's saying to us today. Go.
Yes.
He said, you go to all nations. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teach them, observe all things. And he said, Lord, be with you always.
Always.
But do it, go.
Thank you, God.
I never forget that. I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, then I'll go. He said, Louisiana. I said, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Hey, glory to God. And
hey,
when I got to Louisiana, I was blessed in Louisiana. Hey, got to Mississippi, I was blessed in Mississippi. Went back to Texas, I was blessed. Wherever you say go, go. Hallelujah. We thank God on tonight. Hallelujah, folks. Goodness, we thank God for an opportunity to stand and minister to the word of God to God's people on the airways of the radio. And we thank God for Dr. Hunter. We thank God on tonight, man, for being such an awesome God, a wonderful God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for all of us who have been heard and heard on the word of God tonight.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Wonderful Savior. Bless your name, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. Amen. So we don't have some difficulties with the radio station, but I pray to God we got this question. So I'll see y'all tomorrow. And I'll see you, Lord. I'll send y'all emails. And God bless you. Remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do. But until next time, God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.